Rinse and repeat. That's the Nothing Personal word of the day. It is Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Rinse and repeat is when we get content. We get subjects to talk about, stadium deals, stadium financing, press conferences that are premature in a way that would make a teenager blush. And it just keeps happening. It's as though owners and politicians just don't pay attention to what has happened in the past. They don't use it as useful information, as a guide to what could happen in the future. We had some fun talking yesterday about the Chicago White Sox and their desire to maybe up the ante in their stadium deal. And then no sooner than 24 hours later, do we have the Chicago Bears holding a press conference with the mayor of Chicago, super excited about a new downtown fixed dome facility. It's going to change Chicago. It's going to have a roof. It's going to have green space. You got to have green space. A public hotel. Not sure what that means. In New York, when you say public hotel, it has a totally different meaning than what I think they mean in Chicago, because it's not great for property values for a public hotel in that way. But there's going to be tons of everything for the fans of Chicago, and it can be yours for $5 billion. That's the cost. Not for the stadium. That's not a lot. The plan only calls for $3.2 billion for the new stadium. Then there'll be about $1.5 in infrastructure, and it's going to be funded with a ton of money from the Bears. They're doing all of it practically. If you think about it, they're willing to put in $2 billion, which is really cool. But I'm just trying to do the math. 3.2 minus 1, 2 plus infrastructure. Billions of dollars of public money. I'm in. The President Warren of the Bears gets on stage and starts talking. He says, this is not an easy project, but Chicago doesn't like it easy. President Warren is the same one who had a deal done in Arlington. They bought that land ready to go. Property tax? Property tax? Don't you talk property tax with me. We're not paying no property tax. All right, let's go back to the city. Remember the Bears have been looking everywhere? Remember the Bears were going to work with the White Sox? On a hand in hand, we are going to climb the stairs of heaven together to get public financing. And then the Bears looked at Jerry and said, see you later. And there's Mayor Brandon Johnson, very, very excited, fully endorsing the project, saying that this is so big. This is like going back to 1909 with the plan of Chicago. And keep in mind, folks, no tax hikes, no new taxes. It made my heart flutter. It made me feel so good because that's what you say. And that's what we do in Florida. There's no tax hikes. It's allocation of an existing tax. What's the big deal? But the debate with public financing for ballparks, for stadiums, for development, for all of the ancillary revenue that the teams want, it's not necessarily about will the public be taxed incrementally. It's about allocation. It's about but for. It's about the lies of whether or not the development does benefit the public in any way, whether or not it is solely for the use of a private individual owner. Those issues are the same in all of these different cities. However, there was one person who didn't go to the press conference. One of the people who you're going to need, when we did our stadium press conferences, we wanted everyone. Bring the governor. We want Governor Bush at the time. He was governor. We want him. All right. Rick Scott was governor. We liked him in terms of helping us, which never happened, never worked. But you'd love to have state support because you're going to need some state peace, obviously. He said, I remain skeptical about this proposal, and I wonder whether it's a good deal for the taxpayers. So I want to just review that statement for you, if you don't mind. Here's what I don't want my public officials to do. I don't want them to wonder about anything. I want to believe they've got the facts of the case. I want to believe that all these agreements that are being worked on, all these agreements that are done, not really, not done at all the votes that have happened, sorry, votes haven't happened, but I'd like to believe that the governor, that those in the legislature, that the mayor wouldn't be interested in just the press conference, but would actually know the ins and outs of the deal. Until I remembered, the politicians love the press conference. It's like their fuel. They live for it. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good press conference. I'm sitting here in the lobby of a hotel in Paris, leaving today. Had to check out of the room. We've all been through that. Do I pay the extra night to do another episode of Nothing Personal? Well, no. Metalark said no. Not that they ever would say yes to anything. But that said, I found a place off the lobby. Wi-Fi. I'm here. I'm doing a show. There's people eating croissant over there. I went to the Moulin Rouge last night. 2 hours ago, the windmill, go to David P. Sampson on Twitter or Instagram, the famous windmill from the Moulin Rouge collapsed in an epic accident. This thing's been open for over 100 years, but I'm okay. If it had fallen while I had taken the picture that I was taking, I'd still try to do a show, but I'd need Wi-Fi in like a local French hospital. So Governor Pritzker is skeptical about the deal. He wonders whether it's good for the taxpayers. You don't have to wonder. It's likely not. But then we had the House Speaker, Illinois House Speaker. He said if we were to put this issue on the board for a vote right now, it would fail, and it would fail miserably. There's no environment for something like this today. Well, that's very nice, Mr. House Speaker, except it's not on the board right now. There is nothing before you. So I love the fact that what people are doing is positioning publicly. We're for this. We're against this. We need more information. We have enough information. We think it's going to be beautiful museum space where people will get to access the museum campus in Chicago in a way they never have. By the way, all the renderings that we've seen, haven't seen where to park your car. I guess they'll figure that out later. Look at that rendering if you're on Nothing Personal with David Sampson YouTube channel. Where's the parking, Claire? People can take their rowboat. That does well in January when it's frozen pizza. Wait, there's no parking in that photo. Where's the public hotel? Where's the green space? Go back to the first picture, Coca. Let me say, oh, look at that green space. Look at all that. That's exactly what it's going to look like for $5 billion museum campus. Don't you kid yourself. I see the entrance for the boats right there. You can take your boat right up there. Maybe park in one of those slips. Be amazing. I guess what I want you to take away from this is just one tiny bit of cynicism when these communities and these owners do these press conferences and they claim that everything's done and they've got the approval of everyone, the support of everyone. But of course, it's like whack-a-mole. You don't actually have it. And then what you do is you have to react to when people like what Chris Welch did, when people like Chris Welch, we're a live show, live on the DraftKings Network. If you have to sneeze, you have to sneeze. David, don't tell him you sneeze. Just hit the button and keep moving. It's normal to sneeze. Why can't people see that when you're doing a live show, I'm the same as everybody else? I have to cough. I have to sneeze. I have to blow my nuzzle. I drink some water. Sometimes I can't see straight. This is just normal. All right, where were we? Jerry Jones. We were not talking about Jerry Jones, were we? Were we done with the Bears? Did we have a wait to see on the Bears? Okay. Let me finish the Bears by telling you that wait to see. We told you, and we're not going to make this one official, Coca, don't put it in the books, but we told you the whole Arlington situation when they bought all that land. We said, hey, they could move to Arlington. There's a long way to go. They're going to negotiate with Arlington. They'll figure it out. Now they own all that land in Arlington. Then they tried to look at all these other communities, but now they're staying in downtown, supposedly, except there's no deal. The only question that I had for the Bears, other than the fact that there's nothing true about their press conference, is I am in the room where the decision's made to do this press conference on the day that you've got the number one and the number nine pick in the draft. And that you're about to get Caleb Williams. Tonight's the NFL draft. Very exciting for everyone. Hope everyone's ready. Caleb Williams is going to be a Bear in a matter of hours. He's been a Bear already for a matter of months, but let's not quibble. So I'm just curious whether or not what the Bears were doing is saying, listen, announcing a stadium deal is the most exciting announcement for the future of the franchise. It's way bigger than any individual player. Having the number one pick and finally getting a quarterback should be the biggest news of the day. So why is it that the Bears would choose to make the announcement on draft day or the day before draft day? Is it to take attention away from Caleb Williams? Is it to add attention to Caleb Williams and take attention away from the financial deal in the city? Was it to try to get politicians distracted by Caleb Williams so they wouldn't react negatively to the news of this half-baked, totally high plan? When you're sitting in the room making a decision about when you're announcing something, my view always was, I want every announcement to have its own space. Even negative announcements. Because if a negative announcement is given at the same time as a positive announcement, the positive announcement actually gets tainted. If the negative announcement is given at the same time as a positive announcement, the negative announcement is still as negative. So really all you're doing is hurting the upside you have in a positive announcement by putting them together. When you have both a bad and a good announcement, my view always was order of operation, negative, positive. Everyone's different in that way. Juju, if we had a poll, when people say, do you want the good news or the bad news? What do you say? Which do you want first? I always want the bad news first because I want to end on a good note and I want the good to make the bad disappear. But the bad is going to marinate because, hey, do you want your good news or bad news? Give me the bad news. The bad news is you're never growing another inch. All right, that's not ideal. What's the good news? The good news is that you're going to be the luckiest, happiest person in the world. Well, wait a minute. The good news is way better than the bad news is bad. So therefore, I always want to end with that. So the Bears give you bad news, good news. Do the Bears think it was good news? Because you never do a press conference back to back of good news. You got to spread it out. You got to give it a cycle. You got to let the good news breathe and marinate and let your community love it and take victory laps. So there is not one reason in the world that the Bears had this press conference near the draft day. Maybe, Coke, I totally missed it. It just occurred to me. I don't know if this has been in the chat, but it just occurred to me. Maybe the Bears look at it as bad news that they have the number one pick because it reminds everyone that they stink. Speaking of stinking, is there a worse GM in sports than Jerry Jones? I'm just throwing it out there for you to ponder. The owner of the Cowboys is the GM, and I've told you I'm proud of that. I'm proud that the meddling owner named himself GM. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. It's perfect. His team, his rules. Dave McGilvery, that's for you. If you want to be your own GM, have at it. But aren't you willing to fire yourself? The Cowboys, who have not been to an NFC Championship game since, what is it, Coke, 1995? Terrible playoff success under Prescott, under Tony Romo. I was going to say Tony Romano. Terrible playoff results. Great regular season, which doesn't mean anything. I would trade 10 first place finishes for one Lombardi trophy. I would trade 20 first place finishes for one Lombardi trophy. And I would do it without hesitation. I wonder whether Jerry Jones would do that. I think right about now, he would not, because he has a bunch of Lombardi trophies anyway. But it's an interesting question. So Jerry Jones and his son, the president, Stephen Jones, had a press conference yesterday. And it was a pre-draft press conference where you're supposed to talk about the draft and what you're looking at and where you're thinking your picks are going to be. And instead, the Dallas Cowboys pre-draft conference with the media turned into an attack with Jones defending himself to the end about the failures of the Cowboys and what they're going to do with all of their players who need to now get paid. And Jerry Jones had some significantly interesting quotes when asked about why are you not signing free agents? And he said, because we're all in with these young guys. were all in with this draft. And then realized that when he was prepping for this press conference, the GM was told by the PR people, the owner didn't go to the prepping. The owner doesn't care about being prepped because the owner doesn't care when he has bad PR. But the GM is supposed to care. So the GM goes and gets trained. And the first question asked is, hey, you know, what about your team? What about all of your free agents who are leaving? Well, when you get asked that question, what you bridge to is talk about how great the draft is, how great our picks are, how great our young players are, how we are in a great position with this team. So the GM gives that answer, except the media didn't want to hear it. The media wanted to speak to the owner. So the media asked the owner to come out and play for just a tad second. And boy, did he ever. And the owner, Jerry Jones, started giving a seminar in salary cap, talking about the rules of the salary cap, talking about what the salary cap means in terms of who you're going to surround yourself with. And you can surround your great young quarterback with great talent. But once your quarterback has to get paid, then the young talent graduates and has to leave a team. And these are what teams do. Stephen Jones had to say the same type of thing as the president of the team. He talked about winning off seasons, how it doesn't matter, how free agent signings, it doesn't matter. The real issue is we don't have enough playoff wins. So I realized what Stephen and Jerry were trying to do. And it's a pretty good bait and switch. I like it. Brings me back to my days of being the president of a team where you're looking to just be smooth and silky and totally off-putting and such a lying piece of scum. It's terrible that I ever did that. I apologize to all of you for all the times that I was misleading, trying to have you think that we're better than we are, trying to have you believe that the moves we're making are in the best interests of you, the fans, or of long-term sustained competitiveness. That's a code word that you learn in president school or GM school. Owners don't go to the school, but that's what you do. Every time you trade a player, hey, we're very sorry to lose that player, but let me tell you what this means for our future. The future is bright. It's like we're all a bunch of politicians. Dak Prescott, their quarterback, who has no playoff success. Now, don't at me with their playoff wins. Don't care. Get me to a Super Bowl and we'll start talking. Win one and you can start talking. Prescott's in the final year of that four-year deal. Remember that four-year 160 deal he signed in 2021? It's coming to an end. The question is, what are they going to do with Dak Prescott? Should he stay or should he go, the clash? And my answer is, without success this year, let him go. He's not proven to be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. Let him go and don't give up your team that you've built. Try to get a run of great supporting players where you can lift up a quarterback. It's very bad form to say Brock Purdy, but what about Brock Purdy? Not Mr. Irrelevant, the last guy chosen in the draft. You put a team around him and you could make Coco look like a good quarterback. And I'm not trying to yuck on Purdy or yuck on any of these quarterbacks, but which would you rather have? A named quarterback making 50 or 60 million a year with no offensive line to protect him, no wide receivers to catch his balls, no running back to establish the run, a defense that has more holes in it than a piece of Swiss cheese on the Champs-Élysées for 10 euro, or a young quarterback and all the other pieces in play. Well, one of the pieces that the Cowboys wanted to put in play was Micah Parsons. Can we talk about what happened here? This is not a small deal. Dallas is going to have to deal with this. When you tag somebody, you tag them by position. When you exercise a fifth-year option with somebody, the exercise price is based on position. Micah Parsons had his fifth-year option exercised as a defensive end, not a linebacker. He's sort of the best player on the field, really does play linebacker, but then lines up, they count snaps. If you take a majority of your snaps in the four-point stance, then you are considered an end, not a linebacker. If you stand 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage and every 60 plays you fall back in coverage, you're a linebacker. So the league counts snaps for players. Mike Parsons' snaps were not enough for him to be a linebacker. So it's going to pay him $21 million guaranteed. It's crazy. There's going to be a grievance, folks. People are talking about it. Let me tell you why there's a grievance. Because if you think that Jerry Jones did not purposely categorize Micah Parsons in a particular position to save money on what his fifth-year option would be, then you are delusional. There are no happy coincidences when it comes to screwing players. There's nothing happy or coincidental about it. It's planned. It's calculated. It's calculating. I guess we're going to see what happens with him. He'll file a grievance for sure. We'll see what the Cowboys do tonight, whether they improve themselves so much via the draft. We never had drafts like that where we could say, oh, we just got better. We would always do it the other way. Oh, David, I'd be told, we have such great Oh, David, we have such great organizational depth now. Really? What does that mean? What does that matter? Oh, our pipeline's full. Look at this. We've got six guys in the top 100. They're not playing for us, and when they do, they suck. But in any case, we got six guys in the top 100. We're doing a great job. I wonder if Jerry Jones will look at CeeDee Lamb and say, I'm going to make you the highest paid wide receiver. No. The Lions just signed a guy, St. Brown, got $77 million guaranteed. That's the new market. These guarantees are amazing. They'll never go to the level of Deshaun Watson. That's like the hard ceiling, the 230. But still, a wide receiver got $77 million guaranteed. So in theory, CeeDee Lamb would get more. Maybe. Speaking of Deshaun Watson, a lot of players are getting paid by Saudi Arabia. And people are swallowing hard. They're saying, hey, if you have the ability to go make the money, make the money. They're not upset with Messi. They're not upset with Ronaldo. They're not upset with the NBA, MLB. No one's upset with anyone other than me being upset that we've in any way aided in the normalization of the behavior of those savages. But Deshaun Watson, as a, what is he, a spokesperson? A paid tweeter. He went there on a feel-good cultural exchange visit. Deshaun Watson apparently was in Saudi Arabia, and he sent the funniest tweet I've ever seen from Deshaun Watson. Coco, pull that up. I had a nice time visiting Saudi Arabia and learned a lot about the original Saudi culture and society. I enjoyed watching Al-Nassr, and I can't read this. And a lot about the signing or singing of Ali Abi, whatever. Special thanks to His Royal Highness for the hospitality and generosity, not mentioned, and for murdering journalists. And God willing, we will take the football in Saudi Arabia soon. May peace be with you. I've read a bunch of Deshaun Watson tweets. This sure as heck doesn't sound like Deshaun Watson. We'll give you $5 million to visit Saudi Arabia, and we're going to take over your Twitter and send a tweet that is total propaganda, total horse hockey, and it's going to make it sound like we are schmalkes. We are buddies. Deshaun Watson says to himself, hey, do you have room for Trevor Bauer? Who says the football? I think only people overseas. Don't worry. It was totally his tweet. Don't you worry. All right, Coca, let's take a break. When we come back, it's Thursday. We're going to review a movie for my top 100, and we're going to choose the next movie to review next Thursday. And then we're going to talk about Blake Snell and the disaster that is a Scott Boris client signing late because you don't get what you want. You take a pillow deal, which ends up screwing the team that signs him, which makes you look worse, Boris, because even the pillow deals you're not going to get next year. We'll be right back. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. From what you've seen so far, do you think they'll be a first-time winner of the NBA championship? If the Pacers, Clippers, Suns, Magic, Pelicans, or T-Wolves win, you win at plus 650. That's six teams to root for, six chances to win. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SAMSON. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SAMSON, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. I'm a little fired up today. Welcome back to Nothing Personal. After the show, I'm heading to Charles de Gaulle Airport, flying all the way to Los Angeles. I'm tired to the point of night sweats, not able to sleep. I'm dodging windmills, stepping over dollars to pick up pennies, doing live shows from the lobby of a hotel, working while people I'm with are gallivanting, eating fromage and a baguette on the River Seine. But I want to give you guys a show. There's so much to talk about. I don't like missing a day. Tomorrow is going to be a mailbag. I recorded it last week. I don't remember when I recorded it. It's a fun mailbag. That'll be released tomorrow. And then Monday we'll be live. I'll be back in New York, God willing, safe and sound from this crazy journey that will end Monday night with our appearance at City Winery. I pinned a new tweet, Coca. You would have been proud of me. At David P. Sampson. I actually was able to unpin a tweet, redo a tweet, and then repin it. Which, as you know, the people who don't know me would say, wow, David, that's the stupidest, easiest thing I've ever seen. But I would tell you that it's not, Coca. It was actually harder than you think. April 29th, we'll be there. All right. Milk. We are reviewing Milk. Have you ever heard of Milk? Directed by Gus Van Sant, about Harvey Milk, the first person elected to public office as an openly gay man, played by Sean Penn. Emile Hirsch is in the movie. James Franco's in the movie. Do you remember what was going on? Were you alive? Can you think about today? We've got very much openly gay politicians. Pete is one off the top of my head, and there are many. And people say, we don't like what you stand for. That is a reason not to vote for a politician. If you do not want to elect somebody, I'm all in. Just do it because you don't agree with their platform. You don't agree with their point of view on issues that are meaningful to you or your community or your family. But to not vote for someone because they prefer a man to a woman or a woman to a man or both or neither or all at once, ask yourself. What was going on then is the view was they can't be leaders. They can't be voted into office. They're not normal. They won't be able to possibly come up with a cogent sentence, a plan, any sort of legislation. They won't be able to run a city. I'm laughing because think about the people in office now. I digress. Milk is a fantastic movie. If you have not seen it, it's one of the best biopics. I think Adnan Virk and I did a top five biopics. And there's a chance that Milk was on my top five. And if not, it should have been. And maybe if I were doing it today, it would be because I just rewatched it and I forgot how brilliant the movie is. But when you're watching it, it's number 98 on my list. Try to just keep in mind where you stand on the whole Samson live and let live. But that doesn't guarantee that you're going to get elected platform. I like that platform. All right, what am I watching for next Thursday? Random number generator from a listener to Nothing Personal. Thank you for what you've done. Everything you see that's yellow, we've reviewed. Everything that's green, we have not. hit the button and let's see what we're reviewing. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Thank you, Coca. I have not watched that in a bit, and I've watched it maybe 10 times. Sean Penn is in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. I can't wait for next Thursday when I can describe to you one of my favorite scenes of any movie is in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. That's a top five that I should do. Best scenes for me, top five. Blake Snell will have plenty of time to watch movies for my top 100 list because he's not pitching. Not because he stinks, which he does. Reigning Cy Young Award winner, true. Early in the season, true. Didn't have spring training, fine. Overpaid by the Giants in a pillow deal because Boris promised him what the Yankees offered plus more. And then the Yankees said, sorry, we changed our mind. And then Boris said, anybody? Bueller? Anybody? And the Giants ended up giving it to him. And I wonder whether they're regretting their decision. But at least Cody Bellinger is playing every day, so that's good. He's not. He's on the injured list too. At least Montgomery's been great. That's a positive for the D-backs. How's Chapman doing for the Giants, Coca? What's he batting? So Blake Snell to the IL, and this is not going to be an IL conversation. I don't want to give you an IL conversation. He's got something wrong with him. Say it's his abductor. It's always a fun thing to say. But there was a quote in there that surprised me, and it was the following from his manager, Bob Melvin. It was a quick buildup, but there were reasons for a quick buildup. To lose him here for I don't know how long, it's not great. Remember the Boris story that I've told you? That he has his unsigned players who get unsigned when spring training starts. They're fully stretched out. He runs his own spring training at his complex in various places. These pitchers are ready. These hitters are ready to go. Hey, Coca, let me ask you. I totally forgot this till just now. We didn't talk about it pre-show. How's J.D. Martinez doing? Is he batting 1,000 for the Mets? I believe he actually may be. Do you get what batting 1,000 is for the Mets? 0 for 0. I don't believe he's taking that bat yet. But he stayed ready before he signed. He was ready to roll. Blake Snell said, when asked, hey, how's it going? He said, I would say probably like 2 weeks when asked what he's going to miss. If everything goes well, that's what I want. Well, there's a lot of things I want, Blake. But it's the groin, so I have no clue. He said he was obviously disappointed. I felt really good this week throwing. Even during the bullpen, I was like, man, I feel really good. Ball's coming out good. Made some adjustments. Overall, I was pretty excited about what I was going to be able to do today if I pitched. So having that was pretty upsetting. He's talking about the injury. He's talking about that he, in the bullpen, felt it and said he can't go. So, I'm sorry, Coca. I really am. The way it actually works, the decision to put a player on the injured list, we wait to the last possible minute when we know for sure from the doctor and from the trainer that the player will not be available for X number of days, and whether or not we can handle a roster of a player not available for that interim period. And if we need another roster player, whether it's another pitcher, another position player, we don't have the luxury of waiting another day to see is the player going to be fine, is the player not going to be fine. And I don't mean for torn Achilles. I don't mean for a torn Tommy John, UCL. I'm talking about the tissue injuries, back soreness, shoulder fatigue, forearm soreness. Hamstring's a little different. You're going to go on the IL either way, so don't say hamstring. But quad pain, general body soreness. You wait and you wait for it to resolve itself, and you wait as long as you can before you have to pull the plug because you need a performing player as part of your 26. So that's the dance that you do with a player. Snell said, no IL, I'm good. Let me throw a pen tomorrow. Throws a pen, and then all of a sudden he's on the IL. And what people are now drawing the conclusion is that it was the pen that did it. Where he was all excited to pitch, and then he got to the pen, and then he was hurting. I'm not buying it for a hot second. Before Snell even took that mound, the training staff had alerted the Giants that he was going to miss at least two starts, if not three, if not more. It is hard to argue that Blake Snell is anything other than negative for the San Francisco Giants, but I guess we'll find out. But one thing that we will give you in an official wait to see, Coca, here we go. Wait to see when we tell you something's going to happen. If it does, great. If it doesn't, fine. Wait to see. Blake Snell will miss more than the 15 days that is the minimum stay required when you're put on the IL. So just put in the document at davidsampsonpodcast.com, Blake Snell out more than 15 days. So when you put a player on the IL, we don't call the agent. It's not our job to. The player can call the agent. The player comes in. We say, hey, we're going to have to put you on the injured list. There was just a guy, AJ Pook of the Marlins. He was put on the injured list for what they called shoulder fatigue and for what I called sucking fatigue. So there's all different reasons and different seasons for IL usage. It's definitely used to manipulate your roster. There's no doubt about that. But the significance of Blake Snell starting as slowly as he started, then going on the injured list. When all of his clients are out to market next season, and we're having the same conversation next offseason, saying no owners are going to give in to this ridiculous demand. Is that correct? It's AJ Puck. What did I say, Coca? Did I say AJ Pook? AJ Puck, excuse me. I thought it was Pook. Puck, you know who I'm talking about. So Boris is going to go out, and he is going to say what he always says, which is, my guys are going to help you win a World Series. And we're going to say, you know, your guys are not seem to be ready when we don't sign them. Then sign them. Sign them early. We're ready to go in December. Just give us what we want. But we don't want to give you what you want. We want to give you what we want to give you. Well, that'll take till March, but they'll be ready. I tried to have all of this impact Major League Baseball. Can we do a side story here, Coca, very quickly? When the Wei-Yin Chen signing did not work out for me, he was a Boris client who was signed, I don't know what year, either 15 or 16. And we had to give him the extra year because Boris demanded it and the owner agreed to do it. And it was just a disaster from minute one. I tried to use that signing as a way to strip Boris of his power. And this was before Jose had died. So I don't know the exact date, Coca, but you could find out the date that the Marlins signed Wei-Yin Chen. So when we called baseball with the contract, I said it was January of 16. So it was before the 16 season where Jose died in September of that very year. And what I did is I tried to explain to baseball, listen, what we just did with Boris is exactly what not to do. We're going to act all excited. We're going to sell to this player. We are going to sell this player to our fans. We're going to sell the vision of the Marlins and the organization. But we know that Boris got one over on us. So what I want to do is do a case study. Is I want to follow the Wei-Yin Chen signing. And I want to then follow every single one of the Boris signings. Then I want to follow every single one of the other long-term signings from other agents. And I want to do a small compare and contrast. And then as part of the study, I want to do timing. Players who signed in November versus December versus January versus February versus March when spring training is underway, which is late into spring training, late March signings, which is what Snell was. And I want to know the correlation between late signing and underperformance. And then I want to know the correlation between any signing and Boris is your agent. And then I want to know one more thing. Will an owner next year do what everyone told him not to do this year? I think it's over. I think it's over. Nothing personal pick of the day. Today is Thursday. I believe the nothing personal pick of the day is brought to you by DraftKings Fantasy Sports, but I could be wrong. But if it is, thank you, DraftKings, for your support of our pick of the day. We are 50 and 62 The Astros did not beat the Cubs last night. They were minus 105 to beat the Cubs. That very much bothered me. I expected them to beat the Cubs. They gave up 4 runs in the first, came back, but lost 4-3. For those of you who are Heat fans, how you doing? Are you happy? The Heat went into Boston and got a road victory, a double-digit road victory. First team in 30 years to have a double-digit victory in a game that they were double-digit dogs in. And did it on the road in a game, too. Not remembering. Do we have the video? Obviously not, but we could. Go back and listen to yesterday's show when I was talking about the Heat and Celtics. I said, we're not choosing this game. We're going to go with the OKC game. But in the Heat-Celtics game, the Celtics could win by 30. They could win by 5. Or they could lose outright. Pretty much had my bases covered, yet I can now come to you the next day and said, look at me, Lewis. I said the Heat were going to win the game. And they did. Now, of course, it is meaningless. No, it's not. They're not being swept. The Celtics aren't nervous, but the Heat have reason to have some sort of bona fides when it comes to them. Bona fides. Did I say bona fides? When it comes to beating the Celtics, they did it last year in the conference championships. It was a hell of a game. But our pick was OKC versus the Pelicans, and they crushed them. So we are 50-62. Nothing personal pick of the day. What is it today? In honor of our April 2nd, Nothing Personal Live with David Sampson tour opener, the first ever show I did with Coca and Sarah by my side was April 2nd, Coca. That's only, I don't know how many days ago, 23 days ago that was. It has been quite a ride since then. I want to honor Philadelphia with my Nothing Personal picks of the day today, and I want to give you the Philly double, the Geno's and Pat's special. We're taking Zach Wheeler and the Phillies over the Reds in Cincinnati. And then we're taking the Sixers, giving 4.5 to the Knicks. It's going to be a double dose of happiness down in Philly. The Sixers game 3 covering the Knicks to me is the slam dunk of the year. After that entire disastrous performance with Joel Embiid crying about the referees with his head in his hand. Oh, we should be up 2-0. Dude, you're not. Oh, we're going to win the series. Dude, you're not. I would have liked this better. Oh, we're going to win game 3. Hell yes, you are. Sixers -4.5 over the Knicks. Nothing personal. Pick of the day. All right, Coca, play me some music.
You know what I want? I want to talk to Samson.
So you want to talk to Samson. I may be different, strange even. I'm not. Quirky is a word I may use. I'm super excited for an 11-hour flight that's coming up here in a couple hours because I get to watch movies and I get to not be on my phone. Guess what I'm going to watch? Half-Baked 2 Totally High. The sequel to Half-Baked is now available to rent, and I banged it. Michael Breen, I'm going to bang it. If there were ever a movie that would deserve a bang, it's got to be the sequel to Half-Baked. What we don't know, at this point, we do not know. I didn't look at the cast list. Is Samson in Half-Baked 2? Is he a grandfather now? Or is Samson dead? Or is it his son, Samsonite? Samson Light? It's a character in Half-Baked. That's where we get So You Want to Talk to Samson. Get into my Twitter, David P. Samson, or go on the podcast app, davidsamsonpodcast.com. That's the website. You can buy merch. We had some tour merch put in there. Thank you for that. Thank you for buying the tour merch. People have been showing up to the concerts in the tour merch, and that's made me excited. The live podcast that we've done in Boston, Atlanta, and Pittsburgh, people wearing the tour shirts. Amazing. Coca, do you have that graphic handy with the red line through everything but New York? Our tour shirt doesn't have the red line at all through any of them. You can go online and just buy the regular shirt. And when we add dates, we'll just make a new graphic, but dates are going to be added. It's a matter of when, not if. So today I want to talk to Samson as you get into my kitchen and ask me a question. Hi, David. Hello. I like when questions start with that. During your baseball career, whether drafting and signing players or hiring in the front office, how much did you consider character versus talent trade-offs when trying to put together an effective team? Chag Sameach, and thank you for the many hours of entertainment. Thank you for that question. Happy Passover to you as well. You are looking at a straight violator. I have a baguette stage left right now, waiting for me for the ride to the airport. Yummy. I shouldn't be talking about that because I should only be eating matzah. In any case, your question's interesting on draft day because what scouts do is they've got these programs and they've got these sheets and they deliver to the team presidents player by player and they go through the skills. Here's if he's a pitcher. Here's his pitches. Here's what's plus. Here's what's negative. Here's the accompanying video. Then there's a section for character. Here's what his coach says about him, what his family says about him, what his friends say about him. When you draft a player, you speak to everybody on campus. Sometimes things get missed, like drug addict. Sometimes things get missed, like clubhouse cancer. Sometimes things get missed, like greatest guy ever, but sucks at baseball. Sometimes things get missed. If you asked me right now to choose character or talent, I will take talent 9.9 out of 10 times. What you have to look out for is when you take bad character guys that also don't perform. Because then the bad character part becomes more pronounced in the clubhouse. It becomes a bigger deal. Because if you're Hanley Ramirez and you're really good, but you're not great in the clubhouse, but you're so good on the field, or Pudge Rodriguez, not the most popular guy in the 03 clubhouse, but so good on the field that the amount of respect is so obvious and apparent. Talent. There's some good bench players who are good character, mediocre talent, but never good character, bad talent. You're way more apt to get good talent, bad character than good character, bad talent. If a baseball executive were being honest, football executive, they try to do all those tests in football. It's the combine, but on steroids where they're doing the mental health test. The one that CJ Stroud didn't pass, not mental health, mental acumen maybe, whatever, some cockamamie test that's just eyewash for all these scouts to get more IT money in the budget to do all these tests and spend hours with players trying to predict analytically whether that player is going to panic when the lights go on. Can't measure that. We get told about character sometimes for kids who were troublemakers on the team, maybe had some issues with weed, maybe had some issues with being on time. I don't think there was one time in my career where we took those issues and changed our draft board because of it. Having an agent we can't work with, having a second sport that you're going to threaten to go to, having little upside where no one's fighting for you. It's like being signed up to a fraternity. Names get put on the board, and if you don't have an advocate, you're not going to get drafted. And the people who are advocating for you are not necessarily commenting on character. They're commenting solely on talent. So I'd like you to go out and ask the other front office minds that you know. See if you can email them or catch them on Twitter. And just ask them, hey, are you good with that trade-off? And watch how quickly they'll lie to you and tell you, oh, it's character, man. We need it. It's so important to have the big clubhouse. We'll see what happens in the draft tonight. We'll see if any clubhouse turds get drafted. They will, I promise. We'll see if any drafts don't work out. They won't, I promise. We'll see what the Bears do, whether or not there's big trades for the quarterbacks. Will there be quarterbacks taken four in the first six picks? Will anybody trade up? Do you think this is the ultimate in cynicism as we close the week because we have a mailbag tomorrow? Do you think there's incentive for insiders in the NFL to talk about how many trades there are going to be as to draw excitement to the draft, to draw ratings? I'm just throwing it out there. Do you think the Baseball Insiders are motivated to have a lot of action proposed in their mind? Hey, look out. There could be this signing, that signing at the winter meetings. We would expect this guy. Oh, there's trades coming. The Giants may want to move up. Who knows? Maybe the Bears won't take Caleb Williams. Maybe they're going to put that money into their deal on the waterfront. I wonder whether Reggie Bush will be at the draft. I would expect he wouldn't be, but I think it'd be cool if he ran into the draft with his Heisman. Look at me. Let me tell you how to all do it. Go take NIL money where you're not supposed to, and then when it becomes normal and you all take it, then you'll get your Heisman back. I'm happy for Reggie. I really am. It'd be amazing to draft someone like a Reggie Bush right now. They're all very nervous. They're sitting there. They're sitting in the draft room, getting all excited, thinking about who's going to be next. Jerry Jones is down there grinding, trying to get all those young players. The Bears are all excited because they're on the clock. They're going to look right in the camera when Roger Goodell from his couch with his hugs says it's time. And they're going to just look at the player. They're going to look at their fans. They're going to look at the politicians. And they're going to say, welcome. It's just business. You better be good because this is nothing personal.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.